they shall find her. What that means is they know where she'll be because she's always there. She always goes back, just like the dog returning to its vomit and the pig to its wallowing. He says, that's what you've been. 25, he says, withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. You might underline that part of that verse because that is what God says. This is all I'm asking you to do. These are his morals right here. He says, don't let your feet be unshod. In other words, don't get immoral. Don't go crawl into bed and commit harlotries, physically as well as spiritually. And the other side of it was, is he says, not only that, but he says, don't let thy throat and withhold your throat from thirst. In other words, be content. I'll bless you. Just be content. But they couldn't. They constantly went after other things. They got cisterns thinking they could get something else. What was their answer to that? It says, but you said, there's no hope. No, for I have loved strangers and after them will I go. Wow. God says the only thing I wanted you to do was behave yourself. And they said, no, we're going after these other gods. So they were stubborn. And the Bible says, as in verse 26, it says, as a thief is ashamed when he's found, so the house of Israel was ashamed. He's saying, Judah, Jerusalem, even Israel was ashamed once they were carried away. He says in verse 27, he says, they used to say, or and it says the princes in verse 26, the kings, the princes, the priests, they were all ashamed. It says, saying in verse 27, to a stock thou art my father, to a stone thou hast brought me forth. And they have turned back their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. While they're in that Assyrian carrying away back in 720, that was when they turned their minds and said, God, you know, we're really sorry. Now, they had a lot of time of obscurity, but when the Babylonian captivity happened, God was going to bring them all back together and make one people out of them. He was going to break them from that thing called idolatry. We have to come to terms with the fact that idolatry is part of our world today. We don't have gold and wood and stone, different idols like that. We have stuff. We have insurance policies. We have government. We want to get help from every other aspect and every other corner of the world, but not God. He says in verse 28, he says, but where are thy gods that thou hast made? Let them arise, and let they save thee in the time of trouble. For according unto the number of thy cities, you are thy gods, O Judah. He says, Israel was ashamed, but you've got so many gods that you can name them for every city. You got a different god for every city. You know what that means? They were stuck. That means that what happened for them was, is when something didn't come through, they turned to a different god. And they turned to a different god. And when we have too many resources that we put in place to keep us from crying out to God, we keep turning from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Prosperity is a dangerous thing. Verse 29, he says, why will you plead with me? In other words, why will you make a case with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children, and they receive no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. What do you have to say for yourself, is what he's saying. Verse 31, he turns the corner on our third point and third part of his message, and that is that they refuse to see the Lord. If we would just see him for who he is. Verse 31, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Because when you see the word of the Lord, you get to see God. He says, have I been a wilderness unto Israel and a land of darkness? It's rhetorical. Obviously not. I've not been a wilderness. I've been a fruitful field. You came to me, you got blessed. You looked for light, I gave you light. He said, why do my people say then, we are lords, we will not come any more unto thee? Sounds like America. God is dead. Man has outgrown God. We don't need him anymore. This country did not come into being because we didn't need God. It came into being because people who were here were saying, if we're going to do this, we got to get God on our side and do everything to appeal to the holiness of God to make our endeavor successful. He says in verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments and a bride her attire? This is very cool, picturesque language. What he's saying is, can a young woman forget her makeup? And can a young woman forget her attire or a bride her attire? It's really a part of her adornment, her clothing, that is just to make her look the best she can look. And you know, it's funny because we talk about that in the New Testament where some man sees himself in a mirror and forgets what manner of man he is. Women don't do that. Women do think. They go out the door. Oh, do I have my makeup on? They go out the door. They think, am I dressed properly? And that is something they live by. And he says, and yet my people have forgotten me, in verse 32. Days without number. I am their beauty. I am their beauty. I am what beautified them. I am what made them who they are. He says in verse 33, why do you trim the way to seek love? In other words, why do you prepare your way to make adulterous behaviors and acts spiritually? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. In other words, you've taught the rest of the world that it doesn't matter. When we started chasing after the world's music and the world's behavior and the world's dress, we started telling the world that the world, their wickedness was a good idea in this country and across the world. I remember a couple of youth group went overseas to, I think it was the Philippines. And while they were at the Philippines, they were told, don't sing that music. They had certain music lined up. Don't sing that. Why? Because it would hurt the sensibilities of these new people coming along in Christ. And they told them not to sing their music. Now that's an embarrassment. Truly. Bible says in verse 33, or verse 34, also in thy skirts is found the blood of thy souls. Not only are you teaching the wicked ones to do more wickedness, but you've also killed poor innocents by your behavior. You've populated hell because you've not made a distinction between the holy and the unholy. He says, I have not found it by secret search in verse 34, but upon all these. He says, I didn't even have to look. It's just all over. It's on your garments, everywhere you go. Verse 35, yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall be turned away. Not only is he our beauty, but he's our blessing. And they think because they've turned over a new leaf under Josiah's reforms that they look pretty good now. He says, your hearts were wicked and bent. You know, if we got a great president and he began to pull back some of the things that have gotten away from us in recent years, if we've got that, we think, wow, we got it going on now. Happened in the 80s, I believe, under Ronald Reagan, to be honest with you. The church just said, woohoo, we can go back to plague now because we got somebody up there doing the right thing in a conservative fashion. Now, the church got worse and worse, and pretty soon we got a Clinton, and we got a number of things, Monica Lewinsky stuff, and all kinds of silly stuff. Verse 35, he says, you say you're innocent. He says, behold, I will plead a case with thee, because you say, I have not sinned. He says, why do you gad about? Why do you walk back and forth about so much to change thy way? Why is it you want to change? Why is it you don't want to walk with me? Why is it you don't want me to be your God? What is it? You're looking for Egypt. You're looking for Assyria. Nobody's asking, where's our God? He says, yea, thou shalt go forth from him. He actually says, I should read it, verse 36, he says in a word, so much here, he says, thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. I mentioned that a moment ago. They called to Assyria to help them against Syria and Israel, and then Assyria took them out, but he came after them too. He says, just as you were humiliated and ashamed when they almost got you, you're going to be just that kind of ashamed from Egypt. You know what happened with Egypt? Very cool story. Egypt came up to come around up in the Mediterranean Sea. They came in through the Megiddo Valley. They were going to make their march over to take on the Babylonians, who were making their move against the Assyrians. When they came across, Josiah said, no, we're going to stand against that. And they went up and he got killed. Josiah, good king, he died at the hands of Egypt. This made them look like the biggest, baddest guys on the block. It was a terrible thing. All of Israel mourned. Jeremiah wrote his own poem in mourning against the loss of Josiah. These guys went on and they had a battle and they kind of got whipped and sent home. But ultimately they would come around again and they would say, we need to call Egypt and help us. And it's going to happen in the years to come because they're going to look at them as somebody that they could use. He says, you're going to be just as ashamed of Egypt as you were of Assyria. He says, 37, he says, yea, thou shalt go forth from him and thine hands with thine hands upon thine head. You're going to go away from Egypt, just bemoaning, kind of like one of these where you have your hands, your head in your hands, just saying, oh, what have we done? And he says this. He says, you might underline these words, for the Lord has rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. People make up their minds to go after false gods. What are your confidences? Good synonym for idols, or the motive behind idolatry. Verses 1 to 5 of chapter 3 is where it ends. He says, They say if a man puts away his wife and she goes from him, becomes another man's wife, she returns again. He says, that land shall be greatly polluted, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet you return unto me again. These people were schizophrenic. They wanted all these idols, but when the bottom fell out, they thought, I'm going to run back to God. He says, you keep returning back to me. He says, lift up your eyes unto the high places and see what thou hast been, where thou hast been lined with. He says, in the ways hast thou sat for them. In other words, you've allowed yourself to be exploited by all these other countries as the Arabian in the wilderness. And that's like a concept of the Arabian horse, perhaps, where it's out there, a steed of great value. And yet it's out in the wilderness and it just procreates with all these other wild horses. He says, and you've polluted the land with your whoredoms and your wickedness. In other words, you've not only done this wrong, but you've created more wrong by telling the next generation this is how it's done. Verse 3, he says, therefore the showers have been withholden, the latter rain's been withholden, and thou hast a whore's forehead. What that means is you refuse to be ashamed. The harlot is insolent. She refuses to be ashamed, and we have a whole generation today like that. Our young people shacking up and living together and acting like it matters not. And they refuse to be ashamed. And if you say they're wrong, if you say a sin is a sin, you're considered intolerant, narrow, mean-spirited, and judgmental. He says, you refuse to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art my guide of my youth? See, this is the bookend. The first bookend, I remembered your love. He says, here, I want you to remember what you need to do. 40 years they've got to turn it around. Hezekiah cried out. God turned it around. They still could have, but he's going to show us at one point, take a fire, run through the city, and find out if anybody here in the city is righteous. And they won't find one. Not one. Not one that'll stand. And he says, my Father, thou art my guide from my youth. Not only should you cry out, my Father. Remember Israel, a minute ago back in chapter 2, he said, they called a stone their father. And yet when the bottom fell out, they cried to God. These guys won't do it. He says in verse 5, he says, will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? And under the heading we had three headings. We had the heading, they refused to seek the Lord. They refused to submit to the Lord. And this is the heading, they refused to see the Lord. If they would just go back and look, they'd see God won't hold his anger forever. If they just go back and look, they'd know he was always willing to forgive. If they would just get right in their core. He says, however, you have spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. And literally, Calvin put it this way. He says, with all your might. You've thought, spoken, and done evil with all your might. And that was the people of God. Do you think that the Laodicean church age that thought that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, do you think it's going to look anything like this? Do you think the church age is going to wear itself out just like Israel wore itself out under the law? I think so. I think that's what God's proving to us, just as he will prove in the millennium. Men will do evil even with a perfect king on the throne. So you and I just need to make sure we keep ourselves in the love of Christ. Amen. That's what it's about. These people would not, and thus their terminal hour was upon them. And the weeping prophet gets to remind them of it day unto day. Well, I think it's a great study. I'm excited by it, and I hope that you'll make it a point to try to get here for all of it that you can. All right, let's take a look at our prayer sheet if we can.